An interview with James A. Edmonds, Jr. at 3107 Lama Avenue. The date is February 21st, 1983, and the interviewer is Ann Andrews. Were you born in California?
No. I was born in Oklahoma, in McCurtain County, in the county seat, Idabel. We left Oklahoma in, I believe, 1927, and because of my father's help, and migrated to Oregon. And from there, none of us were web feet. The dampness got us down, and we moved to Garden Grove in Orange County, and shortly thereafter to Wilmington, where my father was a distributor of bananas for United Fruit Company.
And you went to school in Wilmington?
Yes, I graduated from Phineas Fanning High School in 1938.
What was Wilmington like at that time?
It was port-oriented. Most of all, the business is some way or other connected with the sea. It was not greatly developed. I recall a great deal of scattered vacant lots and houses between. It was the Depression, and things were pretty tough for a lot of people. My father being a distributor of bananas and later into fruit markets and grocery markets and liquor stores, our family never suffered from lack of something to eat, but times were a bit tough at that time.
Did your mother ever have to work outside of the home?
My parents were divorced in the mid-30s, and at that time my mother joined the Los Angeles Board of Education and worked there until her retirement a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. So then you went to Woodbury University?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I stayed out of school for 1 year and entered Woodbury in 1939, met my wife there. She came from Michigan. We were married in 1941 and have lived in Long Beach since that time.
And what was your first job?
I went to work for Bethlen Steel Company in Timlough Island in the shipbuilding division. I basically was one of the first employees in the storekeeping division for the building of destroyers, and when I left there, I was up to assistant storekeeper.
And then, I believe you were in the Navy during the war?
Yes. Bethlen Steel had said that I would never be allowed to take a commission, leave my job, but Uncle Sam had a different idea. My youth was such that I became eligible for the draft, and regardless of my position, and in 1943 was drafted into the Navy.
Where did you serve while you were in the Navy?
Australia, Sydney, Australia, New Guinea, Hollandia, before I returned.
Well, then what happened after the war? What kind of work did you go into then?
When I returned home to Long Beach, I found that my father had returned to his original profession that he was in prior to the Depression, that is real estate, and suggested that possibly I might want to join him in real estate. I did that, but my interests were not so much in the sales of real estate as they were in the economics and valuation of real estate. My father left Long Beach and sold his business to me, and from there I became a real estate appraiser and mortgage broker, dealing in real estate loans, and became a member of several professional appraisal societies in my early years in real estate, and then subsequently became a mortgage banker and established a firm specializing in real estate lending.
Well, when you were first in business doing appraising, did you have a company name, or did you operate
under? No, I operated only as an individual in the early days of real estate and appraising. In 1956, I incorporated my mortgage lending business into a firm called City and Suburban Mortgage Company.
Was most of your work in Long Beach, or was it in the greater Southern California area?
In the beginning, most of the work was in the greater Long Beach area, and then as the mortgage company expanded, why, it consisted mostly of throughout Southern California.
Well, now, as a layperson, I never am quite sure what's the difference between being a mortgage banker and, for example, my getting a loan for a mortgage from a bank or from a savings account. Could you explain that a little bit to me?
Yes, I'll try. It's not always the easiest. A mortgage banker, the name indicates that you might be like a bank, but that is not correct. Banks and savings and loans take deposits from the public and then re-lend that money, whereas a mortgage banker uses his own lines of credit and makes loans in his own name and sells those loans in the secondary market, that is, other investors throughout the country wanting to invest in Southern California. In the beginning, I didn't have the assets to be a mortgage banker, and therefore I operated as a mortgage broker, which basically amounts to being an agent for someone desiring a loan and knowing where to place it and placing it with an investor and earning a fee for placing of the loan.
Mm-hmm. Well, were there other, at the time you're doing this, were there other mortgage bankers in Long Beach? And who were some of the other
bankers? The only other mortgage banker in Long Beach was Home Investment Company, which was owned and developed by a prominent builder in town, Lloyd S. Whaley. City and Suburban Mortgage Company became the second mortgage banker domiciled in Long Beach and the most active.
One thinks of Lloyd Whaley as a man who developed a lot of real estate, parts of Los Altos area and all. Did you go into developing building?
No, we only provided financing. We did building for our own account, for our own investment, my wife Mary Jane and I, but not in a large volume. We were providing the construction loans and the takeout loans for builders like Mr. Whaley. Our firm did some financing not only of houses, but of some of his commercial developments through some of our secondary market investors, our life insurance companies and other investors.
Mm-hmm. Well then, so you have seen really the development of Long Beach after World War II. You've seen this whole Los Altos area develop in Lakewood. Do you have any comments about people that were involved in this or how this happened?
I think that what has occurred on the overall basis was extremely good. I think it has been far better than any of the dreams of those original developers, Mr. Whaley or Mark Taper or any of the group that took the Montana Ranch, which became Lakewood. Some of the financing that was done at that time was most unique, and we talk today, in this day, 1983, about unusual mortgage terms, financing terms. Some of the things that were done in the city of Lakewood alone were unusual at that time and experimental and have proved most successful. Most of the communities are now over 25 years old and are very well settled are having no great difficulties other than inflation and the various governmental costs. Out of all of this development, of course, a number of areas of Long Beach became separate cities, such as the city of Lakewood. And I believe all of this has been most beneficial to the economy of this area.
Yeah, it's helped the economy of the area, but one of the things that we've always been hearing about is that downtown as a shopping area has deteriorated over the years. I mean, in the earlier days of Long Beach, when you went shopping, you went to downtown Long Beach. With all of this new building, it would seem that Long Beach downtown shopping would do well. What happened?
Well, it's an observation on my part. When I returned from overseas in 1946, the 100% building, this 100% business area of the greater Long Beach area was Pine Avenue. Today, that is not true. And even though a new mall has just opened, it is going to have some difficulty in building back to what it was just prior to World War II and right after World War II. And what happened was something that many of us did not recognize, and that was the flight to the suburbs, and the shopping centers were then built. For instance, many of the developers would make small profits on the development of the houses and the resales of the houses, but they would retain the commercial zoned property, and then they would build a shopping center, commercial properties, and that's where they gained a great deal of their wealth and their earnings at the time. That still continues today, but you're seeing a great deal of rebuilding of shopping centers, moving back into the areas where the centers are now being enclosed, air-conditioned, and becoming very competitive. For a while, it seemed as though there would be no return to the downtown centers. I think that we're seeing a reversal of that at the present time. Some people are finding that it's quite expensive to travel to the suburbs, and they like to get closer back into their jobs. However, that is not always correct, because much of the business, the large industrial parks, have been built in the outlying areas. Those are built in outlying areas because the businesses that occupy them want to go where the labor supply is at. And if the people want to live in the suburbs and they're willing to drive a short distance of work, but not drive a great deal of miles to work, that makes that successful and will make it quite difficult for downtown centers to rebuild. That's not exactly true of Los Angeles, because it's doing a very fine job of rebuilding, but Long Beach has, in my opinion, has another problem that many of us have never recognized, and Long Beach is like half of the spoke of a wagon wheel. Half of it is missing because it's the Pacific Ocean, and therefore people no longer want to move there. I moved my own business firm to be closer to freeways so that we could cover Southern California, because my producers were not wanting to continually come to the ocean and have nothing in front of them to work from, so I had to relocate centrally. Right at the moment, we're going through a great deal of changes, but I have faith that Long Beach will return, that it may not return as fast as we have seen some other rehabilitated centers in other cities.
When you talk about the shopping centers, outlying shopping centers, who built the Los Altos shopping center?
Mr. Whaley.
I see.
He retained the land after he developed. It was not the most masterful planning, because if you recall the division there of Stern Street and Bellflower, you basically have four corners, and he only controlled three corners, and one other corner was the commercial portion was retained by the prior property owner. It would have been a much better development if he could have controlled a larger piece of acreage and it was all in one site, similar to the Lakewood development, you know. But again, knowing from personal experience some of the problems, the buying and controlling of land and developing it did not always leave a developer with adequate cash to control a great deal of land, hold it. He wasn't in a position to hold it. He had to develop it and turn it. Those were the early days of the Southern California housing boom. It's easy to look back and see where the mistakes were made and how you should do it today. But I think if Mr. Whaley was alive and had a chance to do it all over again, I think he might have developed that particular section differently than it is.
Mm-hmm. In looking at going back in London's history, came across a citation that said that at one time Buffums was planning on building another store up on Atlantic in that Bixby Knolls area, I think it was in the early 50s. Do you have any idea about that, or why it didn't happen, or any comments about Buffums?
I was an acquaintance of Harry Buffum and Bud Young. Bud Young probably was the man that created the expansion of Buffum's. I'm inclined to think that Harry Buffum would have been more content to keep the department store only in the Long Beach itself, not even the greater Long Beach area. I'm not sure why the store on Atlantic did not proceed. It could have been that we, at that time, there was a bit of tight economy, and therefore the company pulled back on some of their expansion plans, and when the economy began booming again, they may have had opportunity to go someplace such as Pomona or somewhere else that they did follow up in their opening. The company later, of course, expanded throughout Southern California, has since been acquired by a firm, an international firm, and has recently joined the Long Beach Plaza in the new downtown mall. And that, I believe, is doing it extremely well.
I've always heard stories, and that's all they are stories, that Buffum's never wanted to let another major department store of its own quality into downtown Long Beach. That, you know, Sears was one thing and Penny's was another thing, but that there wouldn't be a Bullocks or there wouldn't be Broadway downtown. Have you ever heard anything on those?
That may have been true before Bud Young began his expansion, but I think Bud Young may have come to realize that he had to have additional majors that would bring the traffic to downtown, and I believe he was in support of Robinson's joining a downtown effort and other possible stores as Bullocks, and even in the Long Beach Mall today, I believe the developers would have been very pleased to have another major store. They have JCPenney's and Montgomery Ward there, and Sears, although is not part of the plaza, is located across the street. And that creates traffic, but all of the stores really need now recognize they need to create volume by having their competitor a short distance from them. So that that could have been in the early days, but I don't think it was in later thinking.
Well, one thing that has affected Long Beach downtown is the problem of subsidence once they get down the oil drilling in the harbor area. Did the subsidence in that area affect the real estate values?
I have to answer that with a disclaimer because I have a personal opinion, but I also have an experience that you probably want to hear about. I represented a major commercial lending firm, insurance company from called Jefferson Standard Life Insurance Company from Greensboro, North Carolina. And I had either myself or the previous agent that probably originated 70% of all the real estate loans in what is called the jungle, what was called the jungle, which was located west of Magnolia and south of Ocean Boulevard and happened to become the major tourist redevelopment project in Long Beach, and that was subsequently named Ocean Gate, and I believe it has another name at the present moment. The subsidence question that was known locally, and the city was making steps to take care of it. It was principally confined to the taglands, and I forget the exact date, but an article appeared in the Wall Street Journal in regards to subsidence in Long Beach and how the city was handling the problem. I received a telegram from the home office of Jefferson Standard that date that there would be no more real estate loans originated in the city of Long Beach. The next day, I received a phone call asking for a report on subsidence, and subsequently, from the report and discussions, the company at the home office arbitrarily established that there would be no loans made south of the Pacific Electric Railroad lines running through east and west through Long Beach, and all loans had to be originated above that area. This continued for quite some time. But as a result of that, other lenders were asking what we were doing. My business was hit fairly heavily because of the volume of apartment house loans that we were making in the area known as the Jungle and other parts of Long Beach. This particular lender would make loans on older apartment houses at a little higher interest rate, in those days 6% instead of 4%, and would not make as high a ratio loan. Their loan ratio to value might be 50% instead of 60-70%, but they were the only lenders willing to make those loans, and therefore we had little competition. Subsidence has toned down considerably since that article appeared. There was a lot of discussion about it, but the city of Long Beach was using a very unique system. I do not know all of the mechanics of it, but it basically amounted to treating salt water and sending the water down the oil wells under pressure, and it in turn would force out residue oil underneath the sand and would be pumped back up. And I believe that system is still being used quite successfully today. I understand that there have been a number of geology reports made to indicate that there has been some subsidence in Long Beach, but since redevelopment has begun and there have been some very major developments there, I would assume that most of those problems are considered taken care of this time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did interview one man who was talking about the fact that the city was almost at a standstill, and it took a Chamber of Commerce group to begin investigating the problem of subsidence, and then finally the U.S. Navy threatening a lawsuit that if the city did not do something about repressurizing, that this was a serious problem, that there was so much conflict with the individual owners out there in the taglands that they did not want to go into this unitization.
Mm-hmm. I believe that didn't that require a vote of the people, that unitization too?
I'm not sure.
Neither am I, but there was, now that you mentioned that part, I think it has to do with the Wilmington oil field and all the property owners, and I think it also ties into many of the oil royalties, the ground, the oil leases that are for the underground oil throughout the city. In those early days, slant drilling was not as available as it was to become later and even more efficient today. And so a good number of things were brought about to bring in the oil as well as to satisfy the Navy at the Terminal Island Naval Station's objections, because the dry dock itself was not just a matter of sinking, but they could not maintain their equipment in such a way that there was continual breaks and all that bothered them. And I'm sure that that was occurring in other businesses other than the U.S. Navy.
Well, then when we talk about Upland oil in Long Beach, many areas in the downtown area, oil was being drilled underneath that. What was your business, City and Suburban, which I believe was downtown?
At First and Elm, yes.
Did you have any oil rights in that property?
Yes. I purchased the property from a longtime owner, and he retained half the oil rights, and my wife and I still own the other half of the oil rights and are continuing to receive oil royalties now from the property. The initial leases had a limitation, and subsequent leases extended well into the Belmont Heights area and further north, and those are probably called the Upland. There's some distinction that I cannot recall, but there were two series of leases that the geologist had different opinions as to where there was oil.
Do you remember when those leases first went into effect? When did they start
You mean in the Uplands area?
Yeah.
I think most of that came about the time that the Thumbs, or slightly before, that Thumbs was formed, and Thumbs being the combination of four oil companies for taking over those leases and doing further leases. We're speaking now of drilling under the downtown Long Beach and the eastern Long Beach, and not just the tidelands. And also the islands were passed by the people for a vote, and from the islands they drill into the uplands as well as under the water. Time-wise, probably 20 years ago, I think, that this was voted by the people. Seems to me Thumbs began a little over 20 years ago, this form.
Part of the history of downtown Long Beach was that there was this pressure toward this idea of rebuilding the civic center. And the city did have revenues from the tidelands, which at that time were not as restricted as they are now, but there was litigation going on, I guess. And there was, in 1953, I believe, this drive to build a new civic center up in Bixby, Mass., just north of Wardlow. Do you remember anything of this campaign or all that went on with that redevelopment?
Not at the moment. There was movement to move other entities as well as the civic center to the center of town. And I believe through the group that was basically meeting to form decisions within the city, that they in turn placed a great deal of pressure and caused pressure to be placed against the city council, stopping them from making any move in that direction. At no time, to my knowledge, was urban renewal seriously considered as a part of that movement. The funds that were used downtown, it is true that the state took action because they thought they were not necessarily within the